rolling, snake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move about, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch, and boy, it's still a little frosty outside this morning, but January 25th, 2020, we welcome you here. We've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring all the men on, and well, good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning, and good morning, Jason.
Morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. And, man, I'll just ask, does everybody sound okay this morning? We've had one of our stack six went down, so that computer's down. We can't take calls this morning, but does everybody else sound all right to everybody?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. Well, John, we'll ask you to open up and... And then we'll kind of go from there.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we can thank you, Lord, for this time that you set aside on Saturday mornings for your people, called by your name, to come together and to encourage us to eat just as your word says. Father, we thank you for all of it. Thank you for this window of opportunity that you've given us. things that have taken place over the years. We continue to ask you to forgive us for falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel and letting them get as bad as they are today. So I ask for faith, for compassion, for forgiveness, those things in your wrath that you find guilty or worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, help us. Hear you, the Lord. Hear our cries. Hear our appeal to heaven. Save America again. Thank you for the presence that you rose up. Not as a saint, but as a warrior. Father, you've given him a backbone to stand against the enemy, and the enemy is perplexed. They can't figure out why they haven't been able to take him out. We know that as long as your hand is upon him, that there's nothing that they can do to him. But we also know that as Christians, we have a responsibility to pray for our president and to pray for protection for him, his family, and all of those that are positions of authority that do your work. We thank you specifically that yesterday was the first time in American history that a sitting president, or any president for that matter, stood up and spoke about the sanctity of life. Thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the things that have taken place over the last 3 years that have squelched the plans of the evil one regarding the innocent sacrifice of children. And Father, we see that the enemy is back, as the enemy's back is against the wall, Lord, and their world is crumbling. They thought that they had this thing whipped, and all they had to do was get Hillary into office, and she would have put the final nail in the coffin. But you heard your people as we cried out. We thank you for that, Father. There's no better time for your people who are called by your name to get into the Word, and to specifically, I believe Psalms 91 is appropriate. That he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with thy feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, or by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that waketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. In the name of Jesus we proclaim that. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dost dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Heavenly Father, we claim all of these promises as the sons of God. We thank you, Father, that you are a compassionate God who loves his people and who hears their needs and answers their prayers. And it's in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we pray, believing that all these things shall be so. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, with all this this Chinese virus going around, and the threat of, or the scare of the pandemic and 60 million people dying and all this, probably not a better time to be praying Psalms 91.
I would agree.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes.
With Psalms 91.
It ought to be part of your, if not daily regimen, at least one of your, it ought to be in the rotation in a big way. For sure.
Amen to that. And remember, we have that on a Bible bookmarker. If you're not as familiar with it as maybe you could be, Psalms 91, and we'd be glad to send it to you. You can contact us and say, hey, send me that Psalms 91 bookmarker. And it's a Bible bookmarker. We'll be glad to do that. It is a psalm of protection, a psalm of claiming, of returning to Him. It gives the hows and the whys, and that we will not be afraid, and that the plague, the destruction that strikes, that lays waste at noon, the New American Standard says, that it won't come to you. God has always had His remnant. He has always protected His remnant through invasions, through exile, through the Black Plague, through everything that has come. And for those that trust in Him and turn to Him, He will continue to do that. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow," as in S-O-W. That's a work. That's like sowing the seed. Doing the work. It says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you." And as you said, John, if there's ever been a time to seek the Lord, to claim His promises, to turn and return to Him, it is now. You know, people think, well, it's, oh, this impeachment is the big deal, or oh, the march on Virginia, on Richmond Monday, that's all you read about for a few days and all you see in the news. And we remember our pastor preaching that God has not played the plague card yet. And whether this new coronavirus is it or not, who knows? But we would do well to be ready, as we've been talking about for the last, I don't know how long, seems like forever, to be ready, both physically and spiritually.
You know, if you think about it, the Antichrist world is crumbling around them. There's so many things that are going on that are being exposed, and it's obviously an answer to prayer that the things in the dark would be brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops. It's obviously an answer to prayer that Lord would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. And the thing we need to be praying now, more than ever, I think, is for righteous judgment, especially as this impeachment trial goes into the phase of the GOP presenting their case, as well as the vote. But you know, what better way, what better false flag than a pandemic to disrupt the things that are going on, the things that are being exposed. And you know, I was reading this morning, I think the ones that are basically own or whatever behind that Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory also owned all the patents to the vaccines, and those vaccines are nothing but the virus. So you know, you talk about spreading a virus. Okay, well, all of a sudden you make that vaccination mandatory throughout the world, right? Now, some people's immune systems, those who have been born again of the water and the spirit, who have contacted the blood, well, I believe that these things won't harm them. But you talk about spreading the virus all throughout the world. What better way than through the vaccine that it becomes mandatory and that contains the actual virus? But I know one thing, as for me and my household, they want to give us a shot. We can give them a shot, 308 or 223, their choice. But that's basically the stand that we're going to have to take. God's going to make it where we're going to depend on Him. We're going to cry out, and we're going to trust Him to bring us through anything in the future.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wanted to say is, you know, you look at these patents too. I mean, it's, and we've seen this with swine flu, we've seen this with the bird flu, we've seen this with, you know, it's every couple of years they come up with something and we have some kind of pandemic and flu scare and, oh, it's, you know, the sky is falling, so to speak. You know, the interesting thing is, and one of the things that, you know, they all have in common is generally about 5 years beforehand, they have a patented, new vaccination that is patented and tested. And then, okay, and then all of a sudden this flu virus is released and, oh yeah, well, we got a vaccine for it. You know, you look at this, when this, vaccine was, for this coronavirus was patented. It was patented back in 2015. And, you know, so you're trying to tell me that this is a coincidence that 5 years ago they come up with this vaccine and they haven't been studying and playing with it? I mean, this virus came from, you know, it was released from somewhere. And if you can't see that, then you need special ed, I guess. But it is, you know, it's what's happened every time we've had one of these pandemics.
Yeah, this Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory is the only lab in China designated for studying dangerous pathogens like SARS and Ebola. And then it says coincidence, had their annual safety drill just days before the outbreak. Well, like I said, whoever controls this Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory is also the ones that control the patents on all of the vaccines. What a coincidence.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they came out in one of the news articles that I read, it was said, misinformation about the coronavirus has particularly taken root on Facebook groups for anti-vaccine advocates and believers in Q, a broad right-wing conspiracy theory. And then it goes on to say many of the posts about the coronavirus were flagged as part of Facebook's effort to combat false news and misinformation on its news feeds. And, you know, that's basically what we're running into is, you know, they can censor what they want. You know, it's like, you know, it's people think that, oh yeah, I'm getting my news from here and I'm getting my news from there and these different sources. Well, the truth of the matter is they're pulling all kinds of stuff off the news still. You know, it's, you know, basically they don't want anybody talking bad about this, about these vaccinations. And so they just pull the feeds on it.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things that we've got to tell people too is, you know, for a long time we started carrying this, vitamin D3 back in, it was one of the flus, I can't remember, probably 10 years ago. And, you know, the D3 is something that is just absolutely phenomenal. And if anybody goes to the D3 Council, Vitamin D Council website, they've got just a ton of information there. But also if you go to the Scriptures for America website, we've got a lot of information there as well. And you can call the office and we can send it to you. It was interesting because the holistic and, you know, kind of the good doctors that that I know around this area, they've been getting D3 like crazy. And they say that it is the best thing to combat this virus. D3 and LDM are the two things that they're using to get rid of the flu this year. So those are products that we have available that drastically increase increase how you feel. If you do get the flu, it cuts it basically the lifespan of the flu virus that you have in half, and it's just it's phenomenal. So there's a lot of other things. If you ain't going to take the vaccine, which I would strongly recommend against, there's things that a person can do that you know, not only prevents you from getting the virus, but if you do happen to get it, helps you get it over quickly and easily with, you know, minimal stress. So there's other options available. A lot of people don't really, there's a lot of people out there that don't understand that. They think that, oh yeah, you gotta go to the doctor. And, well, I got a good doctor. I really like my doctor. Yeah, sure you do. But, you know, does he really care about your health and well-being?
Yeah, better to go to a great physician.
Absolutely.
Well, and it was interesting in the course of reading on the coronavirus, I seen that there was quite a few stories in China that were circulating about dietary habits and and supposedly this virus originated from, you know, non-farm food sources or you know, questionable farmed food sources. And I thought it was it's interesting how they're always trying to steer people into lab-grown food, or it's like the healthiest food you have is made in a laboratory or something. And it's and observation throughout history shows that that's simply not true. You know, I mean, it's not. But any scare will do to do that. We've had a lot of those scares in this country. Everything here just lately, from what led us to I can't even think of all of them, but we've had a whole bunch of food scares that they don't want people to eat anything that's real food. You know, we've got, milk's bad for you, lettuce is bad for you, vegetables are bad for you, fruit's bad for you. It's like, and that's what our vitamin talk is about, is it's those things that are missing from the over-farmed stuff, from the stuff that's over-engineered or genetically modified. I mean, all these GMOs that we've been talking against for the last few years are all grown in a lab. You know, I mean, they're somebody playing God with CRISPR gene editing, going in and putting scorpion DNA in something you're eating, or, and that may not necessarily be the case, but I was thinking about the Bible saying that when you ask for a loaf of bread, you gave them a snake, or when they ask for something else, they gave them a scorpion, and there was some of those parts going into, through this GMO into our food lines, and it's like, wow, it's amazing that, those things have been added in. I mean, wow, the Bible's right again. Imagine that, you know, there it is. How about if somebody asks for a loaf of bread, you actually give them a loaf of bread instead of something that's not. Your health would be better, and so would your, work ethic, and, you know, it's unknown, at least to me, what it all does to our minds and to our, but I suspect with a great deal of assurity that it probably, whatever they do, turns us away from God. It's not following God's mandate, and puts us on a path of destruction if we just go along with that.
Yeah, the enemy has done a masterful job of setting the stage for this too, with the open borders and stuff. And I don't know if you guys heard about this. I think we might have talked about it a year or so ago, but basically there's this bio sludge, they call it. I don't know if you heard about that, but it's basically raw human sewage sludge that's collected from every city in America, slightly dry to reduce water mass, then loaded onto trucks and dumped on nearby farms. It's sold to farmers as free fertilizer because it's rich in nitrogen. Also means that anyone who had the virus, whose body waste is involved in this, will, you know, can be spread to the crops that are being grown. So if there's ever a better reason to pray over your food or everything that you consume, I think that's a pretty good reason too.
Amen. Amen. And that's been going on down in Mexico, and in the South American countries, where a lot anymore of our food is grown. Look at your country. They still have country of origin labeling on lots of food. And I'm not going to say all, but your fruits and vegetables, at least here in Laramie, they do. And you'll see grapes, product of Chile or Mexico. And was looking at blueberries the other day, and a lot of times blueberries will come, you'll get them out of maybe North Carolina or back east somewhere, and they had no blueberries, not even in the organic section, that were from the U.S. They were Chile, they were Brazil, they were Mexico, and that has always been their practice down there, is they fertilize with human excrement. It's what they do. So, you know, that is what the food is grown in these third world countries. And as we have seen over the years, the water decrease here, the farmland that is changing to either housing or solar, who knows? I mean, that was talking with Jason this past week, you know, and how you see these solar farms popping up, and it's like, you know, there used to be sheep on that land or cattle, and the farmland, the change. John, you've been out here in Colorado and longer than I have, and the changes that we've seen over the last 18 to 20 years, just in the the parts east and some west of Interstate 25, split in Colorado, has been insane. The amount of farmland that's lost, and California is 100 times worse. And then we couple that with the amount of water that is in this Colorado River Basin that flows from here through Vegas and into Southern California to help grow those crops has severely decreased and decreases every year. Huge changes in our food supply, in where food is grown. We still are awaiting, you know, the results of the spring floods from last year in the Midwest, where we still see reports. Nobody seems to care, but we still see reports of fields that are still just unplantable. And I don't mean a little 10-acre back property, but tens of thousands of acres that are not planted.
You know, it's important. I think we make no mistake that this virus and all these other viruses that they create are weaponized, engineered biological weapons that are unleashed against humanity for one purpose: to achieve depopulation. All you really have to do is look at the Antichrist, socialist, communist, Ten Commandments, right? The Georgia Guidestones. What is the first commandment? The depopulation. You know, by 90%, I believe it is, if you look at the number that they have. So, I mean, it's not like they haven't told us what their plans have been for, oh, I don't know how many years. Just like our pastor told us, that the enemy will always tell you what their plan is. Plus, if you notice, there's several movies that have been out, I mean, even going back 20 years, about these pandemics, you know, that are going to be released into America and cause you know, mass depopulation and mass destruction. And so, but you know, God's putting us at a place where we're gonna hit our knees and we're gonna trust in Him, in His promises, period. And I think if you don't have the faith to trust in those promises, well then, you know, you're probably gonna be affected by this. If the fear of what man tells you overcomes the fear of what God tells you, then you'll probably give in to the fear of man, and the consequences won't be good.
Amen.
Well, yeah, and the next thought is on a lot of these diseases or viruses that they're manipulating and manufacturing and distributing is, you know, then the next breath they want to genetically modify people to be more virally, it's the same old story. They make the problem and then they want to make the solution, you know, because they want to control it all. And like, and I agree, the whole thing is about the population, depopulation. You know, that's what they want. They want to destroy God's handiwork, utterly and entirely. And the thing about God's handiwork is, it's everywhere you look all around us, because everything is His handiwork. And there's a lot of, when you look at, just like this, you mentioned the, impeachment protocols that are going on right now. And, the thing that astounds me is the naked hatred that they have for everything. I mean, they're consumed by it. These people who want to, they want to destroy the country. They want to destroy the people in the country. They want to destroy
one of the people who is leading this country and trying to make it great again and trying to make it godly again, and they're destroyers. I mean, you know, pull out your Strong's Concordance and look up destroyers, it'll paint you a really good picture of what we're seeing. But I also think our prayers are being answered, and John already mentioned it, but our prayers are being answered, because they're certainly confused, and they're just turning on each other and tearing each other apart. I mean, they just absolutely can't, they can't agree about how to do anything. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to see as far as how that, how confused they are, how their ranks are working against each other through all this.
Yeah, I heard a pretty interesting dissertation, I guess it is, on what's really going on in the Demon Rat Party is the fact that they've been telling through higher education, through the socialist, communist professors, they've been telling this generation of the younger generation that, you know, they only have 10 or 12 years left, right? And then the world's going to end because of climate change or global warming or whatever it is that they think is the topic of the day. But these young minds are believing this stuff. So what they used to do, you know, we talked about this too, is they'd throw the frog in the pot, right? And they turn it up a degree at a time, and we kind of like it because it's warm and it feels better than the cold water. But now, I mean, they got that gas cranked up, and they're trying to roast the opposition alive. And the bottom line is, it's because this generation, like the Ocasio-Cortez and the squad and all that, they're like, no, we're not waiting anymore. We're not going along with the old rules of two step, three steps forward, two steps back, but still one step forward in their communist, socialist, antichrist agenda. We're going full bore because we only have 10 to 12 years. So I think it's really backfired on them now. And it's also obviously the answer to prayer that God's exposing these things that they used to hide, you know, and the average person, you know, couldn't see what their master plan was, but now they don't hide it anymore. You know, the fact that these Bernie Sanders supporters come out and basically say that we're just going to kill anyone who supports Trump or anyone who opposes our agenda. You know, anyone who's wealthy, anyone who's worked hard in their lives, anyone who doesn't believe in social justice and sharing the wealth and all that. Well, first of all, I say good luck, but you know, these things, they're not being hidden anymore, and it made total sense as to why, because these people, they've kind of overplayed their hand by getting the younger generation to think that they only have 10 to 12 years left and they need to implement these drastic policies overnight, which has done more to wake up the American people than pretty much anything else that's taken place, I think.
Well, yeah, that kind of conversation makes you want to give up your gun in a big hurry when you listen to them talk about killing everybody who supports something a little different, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of contradicts their gun control rhetoric.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about population control, and one of the things that interests me, or I was doing some reading here a while back, and there was a Canadian veterinarian that wants a Canadian, I think it's the beef board, but he talked about a major burger chain's new no meat burger, and you know,
they got them.
The whole and of course there's some, I even seen an advertisement the other day on it, and I was like, oh my goodness. But you know, here's the interesting thing about that thing. Number one, it really does look very much like a regular beef, you know, hamburger. And I have to ask, if you are targeting the vegan population, why that would look appetizing to them? They don't like anything to do with meat. I mean, these things supposedly even bleed when you bite them, you know, and, or you know what I'm saying, but, it's like, that's not, that's just, that's strange. So evidently they're not targeting them. So exactly who are they trying to target? I mean, are they targeting the people that raise beef, you know, farmers, ranchers, you know, or what are they doing? But as this doctor began to talk, why it kind of takes a shape in your mind, because one of these impossible burgers, excuse me, has got 18 million times more estrogen than a regular beef hamburger. That's million with an M.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
I wouldn't eat one, guy.
And, he was talking about the fact that, regular eating on them will cause a guy to grow breasts. You know? I mean, they're, and I don't know. He's just, yeah. So, it's and basically, you're back to population control, I think. I mean, the whole thing is just a big chemical process, feminizing burger. I mean, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. It's got, a lot less protein in it than your beef. It's missing a whole bunch of amino acids and doesn't really save all that many calories. I mean, the calorie difference is 5% less than a normal hamburger. So it's just another genetic engineering experiment, and seeing how much that they can shove down people's throats, literally. You know, I mean, it's a pretty interesting disruptive
tool. Burger King is. Burger King's even offering that now on their menu, and I read something the other day. You know, you wonder when you see the ad, 99 cents for 10 chicken nuggets. Well, that ain't even, that's liquid chicken. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff that they're putting out there for people to eat. I mean, you have no idea what that is, but basically they just pour liquid chicken into almost like some kind of muffin, you know, form or whatever, and bread it and sell it as a chicken nugget. And man,
scary
it is. God's going to get us back to growing our own food one way or the other.
Another interesting story, kind of shifting gears, that I saw this week was Colorado doubles down on its attacks against the Christian faith. And it was, you know, basically Colorado already has gone down this road. It previously demanded a Christian baker to promote the LGBT agenda with his talents and lost at the U.S. Supreme Court, where it was rebuked for its hostility to Christianity. Nonetheless, state officials are doing it again. This time it is using its Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act to force graphic designer Lori Smith and her studio 303 Creative to promote same-sex wedding ceremonies. The state also has banned her from stating her faith on her website. And, you know, it's, you know, encourage people that when, you know, when they see stuff like this, when they see people being attacked by the enemy, you know, pray for them, you know. If you do nothing else, if you don't need their services, I mean, I was talking with a couple of gentlemen down in Denver at Gold and Silver Shop one time, and, you know, they were telling me how great, you know, Jack Phillips was in his cake shop, and it's like, well, and I'm like, well, do you go down there and do you support him? No, well, no, we don't really cookies or this or that. And I'm like, okay, well, you buy them and give them away, you know, do what you can do. But you see somebody like that when the, you know, the state's attacking them and it's costing them, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to just to defend themselves and, you know, thing. I mean, that's when people, you know, that's what a Christian does, is they stand together. And, you know, that's basically a lost art. It's when you hurt and when somebody's attacking you and you're in the Christian faith and you have love for your countrymen, love for your brother, then you stand up and it's like they're attacking you just as much. And, you know, that used to be the way that, you know, that was the founding of this country. That was the founding. Our forefathers understood that quite well. When somebody harmed their neighbor, they harmed them. When somebody attacked their neighbor, they attacked them. you know, they didn't say, oh, okay, well, yeah, the neighbors, the Indians are attacking over there at the neighbor's house, you know, I'm sure glad they're over there, not over here. You know, they had the mentality, it's like, you know, we're going to go kick some butt. And, you know, that needs to be the mentality of people. You see stuff like this, I mean, and people are getting attacked on a lot of different fronts right now, but, you know, here's a company, a business, that can't even, that is, well, they're getting told they cannot state their religious convictions on their website, and that they have to go and you know, work for weddings for you know, homosexuals, that they have basically they should have the right to refuse service to anyone, and you know, they're limiting that, and you know, somebody's got a conviction not to do that and they don't want to do that, they should be just fine to do it. And, you know, I just encourage people, number one, stop, pray for them, you know, lift them up in prayer, because it's those prayers of the saints that often, you know, it's just, it's an appeal to heaven is what it is, and it's an appeal to heaven just for, you know, not for yourself and not for anything that's going to maybe personally benefit you, but for, you know, benefiting another, one of your countrymen.
Absolutely, and that's how you get ahead of the fight, is don't wait till they're at your door when they're at your neighbor's door while you get involved and get supportive and get proactive, and that's how you get ahead of it, you know, I mean, and get a head start on shutting it down and pushing it back. I mean, it yeah, exactly.
Amen. You know, Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And that's a repeat of Galatians 5, verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, that's been coming out more and more, that's the foundation of our society. And as we move away from that, you're right, Jason, when you read some true history books of the settling of this country, that is how people looked at it. They did love their neighbor as themselves, and they bore one another's burdens. And yeah, if the Indians attacked, the people would go after the Indians till they hunted them down, and if whatever, wiped them out, exacted revenge, whatever it was. And it didn't have to happen to you, but if it happened to your neighbor, because they understood that they would. You know, they would either stand together or they would fall apart, as the saying goes. And it, that seems to be lost on so many in this nation today. You know, it's hooray for me and, you know what, with you. And that this entitlement and this me first, our enemy's done a good job. You know, it was mentioned earlier about teaching and training our children in college that the world's going to end if you don't pass this stuff, and they believe that lie, and they have been raised up. We have several generations now raised up without God in the home, without God in the school, without God in the workplace, and like you said, Jason, the state of Colorado trying to even take God, you know, off of the internet, off of someone's website. How do you think it would be if Mohawk Mohammed down there had opened up Mohammed's Bakery and you know, had put on there, bringing the Muslim bakery secrets to you, come and help us celebrate, and we have Muslim food for you. They would embrace it. It would be welcomed. You know, they would be the little magazine down there that does the Denver food shows and whatnot would be praising those people. Oh yes, come and eat the Muslim food. But someone that says that they're Christian, oh, we can't have that. And I hope that people are awakening to that. They better, because it is discrimination of the largest sense, and it's part of the attacks. Of the world against Christianity, just as Christ said, they hated him, and he said that those that follow him, that truly follow him, will be hated as well. That's how you can know that Jack Phillips is on the right course, that he's doing right with his bakery down there. You don't have to know exactly what he feels and thinks and says and does. Is look how the enemy, look how the enemies of Christ have come against him. You can tell a lot, they say, by the, you know, your friends. You know, show me who your friends are. You know, the saying is that you're kind of a summary of the 10 people you hang around with and things like that the most. But you can tell a lot about someone by their enemies as well. Who is it that hates them? Who is it that comes against them? And we're seeing that in our country.
Yeah.
We are.
I want to take a few minutes. I think it's important that we look at some of the things that our president said yesterday in that March for Life. He said, "It is my profound honor to be the first president in history to attend the March for Life," Trump said as the crowd roared. "Today, as President of the United States, I am truly proud to stand with you." The president shared a message of the pro-life movement with the crowd, rally, and activists prior to the annual march to the Supreme Court in Washington. "All of us are here today," quote, this is a quote, "all of us are here today, all of us here today, excuse me, understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God." He said, vowing to protect the sanctity and dignity of every human life. "When we see the image of a baby in a womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation," end quote. Trump thanked young pro-life leaders for leading the next generation of activists. "Young people are the heart of the March for Life, and it's your generation that's making the pro-life, pro-family nation," the president said. Trump also praised women and mothers for their work for the rights of the unborn and for their children. Quote, "You just make it your life's mission to help spread God's grace," Trump said. "And all of the moms here today, we celebrate you. We declare that mothers are heroes." The president said he would be fighting for pro-life issues despite attacks from the left. "They're," quote, "they are coming after me because I'm fighting for you and those who do not have a voice." The crowd loudly booed as the president noted that Democrats only increased their support for late-term abortion and abortion on demand. "Every life brings love into the world. Every child brings joy to a family," Trump said. "Every person is worth protecting. And above all, we know that every human soul is divine and every human life born and unborn is made in the holy image of Almighty God." Now you tell me when any president ever in the past has said anything like that.
Significant, yeah.
It is. And they hate him all the more for it. You know, the
absolutely
the abortionists and
that's
the Democrats.
What I mean, their world's crumbling.
It does.
The world's crumbling around them.
Amen.
I like the quote that he had when he was speaking there that said, "The unborn have never had a stronger defender in the White House." He said, "Young people are the heart of the March for Life. And it's your generation that is making America the pro-family, pro-life nation."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, and I've seen several, editorials lately and things that I read and run across of millennials coming forward and saying, I used to be part of this movement or used to be part of that movement, but I'm rethinking this dead end, self-deprecating alliance with these groups that, you know, we're now God's way, the American way of doing things has opportunities for all and has benefits for all and is based on character and morality and achievement. And I need to relearn some things. I mean, I've seen a dozen of those here lately. And if all heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ, I think that's the same thing there. I mean, one is a big deal, you know. So every time we see that happening, for everyone that's and coming out and saying that, there are thousands more that are there in the shadows or don't get the spotlight on them that are doing the same thing, you know. And
yeah, compare that with what Bernie Sanders declares: abortion is health care and a right afforded to women in the Constitution. Now think of that compared to what President Trump said.
Well, you've got you've got the difference in life and life abundant, and then the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he doesn't tell you he's stealing, killing, and destroying. He tells you that it's your right, that he's giving you your rights, that he's for you, and that you know, this stealing and killing and destroying, this is good. This will bring wealth equality to everybody. And this will bring us into the 22nd century and blah, 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 blah. See, what's the Bible say? Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Oh, it looks good. It may even sound good to them. Elizabeth Warren came out this week and basically, forgive all the college debt. You elect me as president, I'll forgive all your loans. You can go to school for free. I mean, they just come out and say it because, like you said, John, they're desperate. They are in their death throes, is what they are, and they're bringing out all the stops. They don't hide it anymore. They just come out and say, without hiding it, what they're wanting to do. In hopes that that'll give them that niche, that will resonate with the people, and it hasn't. It's had just the opposite effect. It's polarized, and it has widened that divide between life and death, and the choices that are there. And like you said, Tim, people are seeing it. It's not that this generation is lost. This new generation. No, there's people in it that are seeing it, and the plans that the enemy has made, God sits in the heavens and laughs at it.
Yep.
Amen. Well, getting close to the end of the program, but I guess if there's one thing, if you get only one thing out of this program this morning, it would be to pray Psalm 91 faithfully, is what I would say.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, men, we'll call that a wrap then. We thank you, Remnant, for joining us, and we ask that you keep us in your prayers, and know that we keep you in our prayers, the Remnant. And we invite you to church tomorrow. We'll be gathering at the LaPorte Church of Christ. We'll start out at 8:30 in the morning with a review of the news. And we'll have a timeless pulpit truth. And John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. And we'll have communion. And so we invite you to join us. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. You can just click on. And if you have a good internet connection, click on the live video stream. You can also click on the live audio stream and listen in if that's how your internet is. But we do invite you to join us. And again, it gives you an opportunity to gather with the saints, even if it is only on the computer. And occasionally we have people stop by. We do ask that you contact us. Let us know if you're going to stop by physically so we can expect you. But we do invite you to come and to worship with us. So with that, we're going to go out with a song. And we thank you. God bless.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost as we look down the road. Prodigals have walked one by one. The enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now.
But Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, take high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more. Take high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stop.